Hi, this is Rifki Kaplan from Tzfat Israel, and we are looking today at Chelek Yud Beis, Parshas Metzora. So it's going to be a short Rashi Sicha with a beautiful walkaway, takeaway. Okay, so it opens up, the question is on the second Pasuk of the Parsha. I'm just going to read the Pasuk so that we get a handle on what we're talking about. The pasuk reads as follows: Zois tiye Torahs haMetzora. This should be the Torah. In other words, the halachas, the dinim regarding the Metzora. B'yoyim taharasai, on the day he's going to be purified. V'huva el haKoyen. He needs to come to the Kohen. And what does Rashi say on those words? So firstly, Rashi copies down in his Dibra Matchil the words Zois tiye Torahs haMetzora v'goymar. And Rashi writes, Melamed, this teaches us, She'en mitarin oisoi balayla, that the purification process does not take place at night. Okay? So that's our Pasuk and our Rashi. And we have a number of questions that come up on this seemingly simple Rashi. And we're going to look at them now. Okay? So firstly, I just want to comment on what the Mefarshim tell us about this Rashi, and then we'll go into the questions of what the Rebbe has on this Rashi. So the Mefarshim try and explain Rashi as follows, and they say that Rashi is bothered. He's what you would say alerted by what seems to be the extra word bayoyim in the pasuk, as in Zois tiye Torahs haMetzora bayoyim taharasai. And because it seems extra, that must be that seemingly additional word is alluding to the idea that he is not to be purified at night, right? But the Rebbe is not satisfied with this explanation, and the Rebbe asks the following questions. The Rebbe says, if that's the case, then number one, why would Rashi copy down in his Dibra Matchil the words Zot Tiye Torah Tametzora? This is the Torah regarding the Metzora, right? Which is not really, seemingly not related to his explanation at all. And I just want to pause for a minute to talk about this idea of Rashi and his Dibra Matchil. Those of you that might be familiar with Rashi Sichas have grown to understand that what Rashi is teaching us, the lesson of Rashi, the message he's sharing with us, already begins before his actual commentary and begins in Rashi's choice of words in the Dibra HaMatchel. So the Dibra HaMatchel is the sort of copy and paste of the words in the Pasuk. And Rashi is very particular in his choice. And we can learn a tremendous amount by what he chooses to copy and paste. And what sometimes seems like it should be obviously copied and pasted is left out. And like in our example, he seems to copy and paste the words that are not even relevant to the discussion, which should cause us to pause and ask the question, well, what really is the message that Rashi is trying to give, right? So as mentioned, Rashi copies down the words, Zois tiye Torahs haMetzora v'goymar, okay? And so the Rebbe is telling us, then clearly his intention is not to explain, as the commentaries had suggested, is not to explain the seemingly additional word of v'yayim, because he doesn't bring that in his Dibra Matchil at all. He just sort of like hints to it in the word v'goyma, right? So we have to conclude that when Rashi tells us that the purification process does not take place at night, it's not learned from the word bayayim, because that's not in his Dibra HaMatchil. It has to have been learned somehow from the word Zois Torahs haMetzora, Zois Tiye Torahs haMetzora. And we have to understand how. But before we do that, we're going to further elaborate on some of the questions here, okay? So number one, we ask the question, well, then why doesn't Rashi learn it from the word bayayim? Especially if, because in Rashi's source, which is Taurus Kohanim, which is the Medrash on Vayikra, some of you might be familiar with the Bereishis Rabbah, which is the Medrash on other Chumashim, or the Bereishis Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma, etc. The one on Vayikra is known as Taras Kehanet. So Rashi's source for this idea that the purification process does not take place at night is from the Taras Kehanet. And there, it seems that they learn it directly from the word Bayayim. So why doesn't Rashi say that we're learning it from the word Bayayim? Okay. Which of course leads us immediately to our second question. If it's not learned from the word Bayayim, how then is it learned from the words Zois Tiye Tairas HaMetzayra? Okay. And the third question that we have is, why does Rashi specifically use the word Milamed? Again, what is the Rashi? Milamed She'ein mitaren oisoi balayla, which teaches us that you are not to, the person is not to be purified at night. Okay? So we know, again, once you become familiar with Rashi's style, you begin to appreciate that nothing in Rashi is additional. When he uses the word melamed, he's trying to tell us something. Okay? So just quickly, let's review the three questions that we asked over here. Question number one, why doesn't Rashi learn it from the words Bayayim as it's learned from his original source, the Taras Kehanet? Number two, if he's not learning it from the word Bayayim, how then does he learn it from the words Zois Tiye Taras HaMetzayra? And the third question is, why does he use the word Melamed? Okay? So the Rebbe begins to answer those questions, and the Rebbe tells us that unlike what the commentaries had said earlier, that the word Bayayim seems to be extra, Rashi says, actually, the words that seem extra to me are the words Zois Tiye Taras HaMetzayra. And why are those extra? Because we know that we're talking about the Metzayra over here. I mean, it comes immediately as a continuation of the previous Parsha. And in the previous Parsha, we're talking about the Metzayra, and we're talking about the Torah's HaMetzayra. So when we look at this Pasuk, even if those words were not there, we would know exactly what we're talking about. So when Rashi looks at this Pasuk, Rashi says, wait a minute. You know what's extra around here? What's extra around here are the words Zois Tiye Taras HaMetzayra. So Rashi understands that the words Zois Tiye Taras HaMetzayra have to serve a particular purpose. So what is the particular purpose that they're serving? Rashi understands that Milamed, they must be teaching us something regarding the word that comes immediately after it, which is the word Bayayim, right? Again, just to read the Pasuk again. So it's Tiye Taras HaMetzayra Bayayim Taharasi, right? That's the words of the Chumash. So Rashi says the words of Tiye Taras HaMetzayra are completely extra because I know even without those words exactly who and what we're talking about, because in the Pasuk right before, even though it's found in the previous Parsha, we're focused on the Metzayra. So Rashi understands that those words are here for what? To teach us something about the word Melamed, as he brings out in his Rashi, to teach us something about the word Bayayim. Now, what is it to teach us about the word Bayayim? So Rashi tells us that we have to realize that the word Yayim, unless it's brought immediately within the context of where contrasts it to the word Laila, the word Yayim, like we see in our situation, is referring to a 24-hour period, right? Like we have in the 6 days of creation, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, Yayim Echad, right? Or we have 6 days of the week you should work, and on the seventh day, Uba Yayim Hashvi, on the seventh day you should rest. That doesn't just mean the 10, 12 hours that the sun is up that we call day. Ubayayim is referring to a me'es le'es, a 24-hour period, right? We even have an example that's very pertinent to the Yom Tov that we just celebrated, that of Pesach. What does it say? Bayayim ha'koisi kol b'char b'eretz Mitzrayim. On the day in which I punished all the b'chayrim, right? And we know very clearly the Makkah B'chayrais took place when? B'chetzi Alayla, who was right in the middle of the night. And yet it refers to it on the day in which I struck all the firstborns, right? So we see that often, as in our situation, the word day connotates, can connotate a time period, right? We also have, So How does this apply to what we're talking about? The pasuk is telling us, "Zois tia toiras hamitzayra milamed," that he can't be metahar at night, right? Rashi tells us, right? So how do those words teach us? Because those words, zois tia toiras, are very precise indicators. Each one, right? Like the word zois is when you're pointing at something. Like, for example, in the pasuk, when the Eibishter tells us about the rainbow, he says, Zois ois habris. And the Eibishter pointed to the rainbow in the sky. Hachoydesh hazeh was when the Eibishter pointed to the moon and taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to count the months, how to celebrate the Jewish month, the start of the new Jewish month, right? So zois is a precise indicator. The word tiyeh hints to the idea of staying as is. Again, a precise, concise indication. And the word tyrus, of course, refers to the idea of dinim, laws, right? So when you combine all three, zois, tiye, tyrus, bayoim, that's what teaches us that the purification process has to happen not at night, right? So now let's go back to that pasuk for a minute, keeping in mind that the word vayayim, unless it's mentioned in direct contrast to night, does not teach us that something took place during the day. More likely, more often, we find that the word yayim indicates like an ace la'ace, a 24-hour period. So if I would just look at this pasuk, Zayis tia taras ha-mitzayra by yayim ta'arasai, I wouldn't know that the mitzayra has to be purified specifically not at night, right? So how do I learn that? I learned that, Rashi tells us, from his Dibra Matchil, because the words Zayis tia taras ha-mitzayra are extra. I know exactly what we're talking about over here. So the fact that Zois, Tia, Toiras are like indicators, they're arrows, and they precede the word Bayayim, this teaches me that it can't be done at night. That in this particular situation, the word Bayayim is talking about a time period that is not a night time period. It is a yoim time period, right? So now we understand why Rashi copies down specifically the words zois tia tairas hamitzayra v'goymar, because those are the words that teach us what Rashi wants to teach us, that this takes place not at night, right? And the Rebbe brings out something very interesting, because if you notice that Rashi doesn't say this teaches us that it has to happen during the day, but rather Rashi tells us that this indicates that it has to happen not at night. And it's a very interesting nuance in halacha that can be understood from this, right? When would we see a ramification of this? If, for example, somebody was trying to become purified and the day slipped away. But we know that in halacha, there's a sort of twilight zone known as Bein HaShmashas, when it's not daytime, but it's not nighttime either. So what Rashi is telling us by quoting it, and he says, this teaches us that his, her purification process needs to take place not at night. He then gives us that additional leeway, that if the day would slip away, but it's not yet night, i.e., if it's Bein HaShmashos, that particular person would still be able to take advantage and be able to be purified in that twilight zone of Bein HaShmashos, right? In contrast to, for example, where you have an Taras Koyanim, even though that's Rashi's source, and the Taras Koyanim tells us this, teaches us that he, she needs to be purified during the day, but Rashi understands it differently. And Rashi, by telling us, this teaches us that he, she needs to be purified not at night, Rashi has then given us that additional gift of the Bein HaShmashos, because this way, imagine, for example, it was the end of your Torah period, and it was a Sunday or whatever day of the week it was. And the Kohen, remember, part of the process that you'll read in the next few psukim is that the Kohen had to come to the to outside the machane, where the person was located, where the leper was located, right? Let me just look in the psukim. I'll read that for you. Right, the Kohen had to come to the outside of the machane, and then the Mitzayra had to approach him, okay? So imagine it was a Sunday, and by the time the Kohen came, you know, and the Kohen came outside of the machane, and then the leper had to approach the Kohen, and all of a sudden the day had slipped away. So according to the Torah's Kohanim, it would have been a lost opportunity. And it would have only been possible to then be purified the next day. A whole night would have to pass, and the leper would have to remain outside the machane, and the leper would have to remain impure, and he would have to remain isolated. And I think we all have a better appreciation of how difficult and painful that can feel, right? But according to Rashi, if the Kohen came to the machane, outside the machane, in other words, he had to be outside the community, and the leper then approached the Kohen, even though Sunday may have slipped away, but it was still that twilight zone, meaning it wasn't night, right? Because what does Rashi tell us? When does the purification process have to happen? When it's not night. Doesn't say it has to happen during the day. It has to happen when it's not night. And this way, it gives the leper, the Mitzayra, he, she, that additional gift of time where he, she is able to become purified. And so by Sunday evening, the purification process has been completed and they can rejoin the community and pick up the fallen pieces of their life. So that's just like a very interesting nuance that we find where Rashi specifically chooses to use the word not at night versus during the day. Another beautiful point that the Rebbe brings out, right? So let's just summarize over here. First of all, we asked our questions on Rashi, on his Dibra Matchol, and how he learned the idea that it had to place during the night, and we resolved those questions. Then we brought out an interesting nuance in the way Rashi phrases the halacha, whereas we understand that gains for the leper that additional twilight zone, the opportunity to become purified because it's not yet night, okay? And the third thing the Rebbe teaches us here in this Rashi is a pipnimis hanyonim, like the takeaway, right? And the Rebbe says something very interesting. He says, Zois tia Torah hamitzayra, right? So in the Likutei Torah, it talks about how one of the reasons that caused tzaras is because the person was caught up in mitzi shemra. He was talking about others. He was talking inappropriately. His mouth was occupied with negative elements, negative talk, right? And as the rectification of that, the Rebbe says, what does he have to be? Through what the words right here is, right? Tiyatayras ha-mitzayra. With the rectification of the mitzayra, who unfortunately got caught up with using his mouth to spread negativity, he now has to utilize his mouth and the power of speech for what? For Torah. Zoi tiyatayras ha-mitzayra. By Daske being caught up in words of Torah, that is how the Mitzayra is going to rectify the cause which brought him to this in the first place. But we also know that the Pasuk concludes, and again, I'll read that Pasuk for us. Let me just find that here again. Zayti a Torah Samitzayra, B'yoyim Taras, V'huvoy El HaKoyen. He needs to approach the Kohen. Remember, the Kohen has come out of the Machana, but now he needs to approach the Kohen. So first of all, we're saying you should make a very conscious effort to move away from using your power of talk and using your mouth to, God forbid, spread negativity. Use it for positive things. Use it for Torah. And what's the idea of Huva El HaKohen? So we know that the Kohen represents many things. One of the things Chassidus teaches us that the Kohen represents is the idea of Chachma. But which form of Chachma? Dafke, the form of Chachma that is above your Seichel. And the only way to tap into that is through a place of Bittul. Because when you have to tap into something that's above you, the only way to be able to do that authentically is to recognize that I'm limited. The only way to do that is from a place of bitter. So it's not good enough to rectify using your mouth for negative things by now filling your mouth with positive things, but that, i.e. through words of Torah, but daske, you should be doing those words from Torah, but in what way? In a way of approaching the Kohen. What's the Kohen here symbolic of? The Kohen here is symbolic of the Chachma that's above your Seichel, i.e. the idea of Bittul. So you should fill your mouth with words of Torah, but daske in a manner of Bittul, recognizing that it's not all about me, because that really was how you got yourself into the mess in the first place, right? So what is one of the many takeaways that we can have from the story of the Metzora, even though the truth is a leper is not really a disease, that is something that we can relate to. Although isolation is something, unfortunately, that is very relevant, right? Who would have thought that last year when we studied Metzora, that isolation would be something that is very relevant. So we can understand the pains in isolation, and we can understand the need and the urgency to want to re-enter civilization. But we also have to understand that what brought us to a place of isolation, i.e. in regards to the Mitzvah, was because we got so caught up in ourselves. We got so caught up in ourselves and the eye absorption and the self-centeredness that it led us to a place where we were using our tongue and the power of our talk to unfortunately spread negativity. So how do we rectify that? By filling our words with Torah, filling our mouths with Torah. But daska, we have to be careful that when we fill our mouths with words with Torah, that is not again becoming something that's self-serving, but rather we recognize that it has to be done in a manner of approaching the Kohen, i.e. in a manner of true bittul, in a manner where we embrace the words of Torah, where we embrace positivity, where we make a conscious effort to spread words of goodness from a place of thinking of somebody else, from a place of where I am no longer the center of the decision-making process, but I am more concerned about others, and that's going to lead me to making those positive decisions.